How would you like to become a better man or woman? Joel Gandara will tell us how to do it. And he has a program called 31 Days to Become a Better Man. And he's a self-made millionaire through his apparel businesses. And he comes from Cuba. And he helps men live with discipline, purpose, and integrity through his programs like the Brotherhood Protocol, 31 Days to Become a Better Man, and Next Level Man. So Joel, tell us more about 31 Days to Become a Better Man or Woman.
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of programs out there. I just want to say, I didn't start a program to make money. This is just a natural thing that I did, put a bunch of friends together and said, let's just work on stuff that makes us better. It wasn't a business, but then it went really, really well. And all the guys said, let's do it again. And I said, yeah, maybe in a year. And they said, no, you did a good job, man. Let's do it again next month. And then I said, we'll see. And one of them said the magic words to me, because I've been an entrepreneur since the fourth grade. They said, Joel, we all agree, we're going to pay you if you do it again. And I said, ooh, that sounds cool. We got another business. So that was 2.5 years ago. And what we do is we come together all over the world and we communicate via 5 Zooms and a WhatsApp where we communicate every day, all for 31 days. And in those 31 days, we get some challenges and we do it together in the sense that, you know, you read for 3 to 5 minutes a day. My book has short, chapters. You read what you got to do for the day. Maybe you got to do some pushups and you have to have a hard conversation with somebody. And that's today's challenge. The next day you might have to do some air squats. Maybe that's a physical challenge, but you have to do this other thing that mentally might stress you out a little bit or cause a little bit of stretching and growth. And that's what we do for 31 days. And what I keep hearing is that this is changing guys' lives. In fact, here's how I know it's changed about 700 lives so far in 2.5 years. Because I say, if you don't change your life in this process in 31 days, just tell me, you'll get your $200 back. That's all I charge. And nobody's asked me for the money back. And it's on the website. I keep saying it to everybody and nobody asked me for the money back. So apparently it's changing some lives.
Thank you. Now, I know a lot of men, okay? But I know one man in particular who does things a lot better than millions of people. And I'm wondering, like, what do you consider to be a better man? Like, what would you say are those kind of like little challenges that you would say men and women avoid doing that keep them from growing?
Yeah. Well, there's a million excuses. I believe that we all have a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder. And the angel is telling you, hey, go work out, take your wife on a date, set aside time with your kid, put that phone down, all these positive things. And on this side, the little devil is telling you, have another drink. Don't go to the gym today. You worked hard enough. Hey, that wife of yours, she doesn't deserve you to take her on dates. And all these excuses. And I think too many guys are listening to that little devil on their shoulder. So that's what I think will happen throughout there. I see it happen every single month on new classes. During the 31 days, the guys are starting to stop and look inside of them and do some challenges that open up their mind. And at the same time, there's a connection with exercise too. Every single day for 31 days, there's no days off. The guy has to exercise. There is a serious connection there. The endorphins that get released, I'm no doctor, but you know, the chemicals, the feel-good chemicals are going, you're working out. So many of the guys say, my wife is starting to notice that my chest is getting bigger, that I'm standing straight up. Yeah, you do 1,000 push-ups in 31 days, that's going to happen. So yeah, there are tiny little things that guys do during the 31 days that starts making a difference in their life.
Thank you. I think we're all failing in some area of our lives, or we all need to learn more or to do more in certain areas of our lives. But I'm wondering, like, how do you decide which of those areas are the areas that we need to become a better man or woman? Because I think there are certain areas where we're aware that we need to make some changes and we just don't do it because we don't have the discipline or the time or whatever excuse we came up with today. But there are certain areas where we don't even know that we're failing, because perhaps, you know, like after 30 years, your wife leaves you and then you have no idea, but she knew, like, oh my God, you're so fucking annoying, you know, in this, you know, this and this and this area of your life. So I'm wondering, like, what areas, first of all, do you get to focus on so that you can improve? And then how does someone become more aware of the areas they are failing in so they can become better men and have the willingness and ability to do something about it?
So first off, we have to take all the numbing chemicals that guys are taking in. Here's an example. In my 31 days, there are a few rules. These apply specifically to men. No alcohol, no drugs at all, unless a doctor prescribed and you have to have it, like a medicine. No pornography, no masturbation. Why? Because these are some of the many tools that men use to stay numb and to not address the problems in their life. They may not even realize these problems exist anymore because they've been numbing themselves for so long. I've seen it over and over. When the guy is not doing those things, they are now hyper aware. Takes a week or two, maybe, depending on what they're used to and addicted to, but they start opening their mind. Now, you take out all that substance that they're injecting and you also challenge them with a bunch of stuff about their wife, about their kids, about their business, about their money, about their health, all these things, throwing it at them just for a quick little bit every day, just a little, there's a new challenge, a new thing to think about, a new exercise to do. And all of a sudden they start being aware of what's missing in their life, what could be better. And I've seen marriages that look like they were going to go away, get fixed. In fact, I met a woman whose husband did my program, and she pulled me aside. It was at a launch party I had for a book. And she pulled me aside and said, my husband did your program. And I just want to thank you because you brought me back the man I fell in love with 20 years ago. Something happened for those last 20 years that he was just in another world. And now he's back. And I think it's not a magic program. It's introspection. The guy stopped for 31 days for 20 minutes a day and did a little bit of work on themselves. All of a sudden they started figuring out what they needed to work on.
Thank you. So is it a case of, let's say, agreeing to, first of all, not do those numbing things, and then also doing a certain, you know, 5, 10, 15 things? And if so, like, how do you go from that to not feeling completely overwhelmed? Because that's one of my problems, you know, like, I love doing too many things. And then sometimes I get overwhelmed and occasionally quit. I usually quit, but occasionally I do. So I'm wondering, what someone do to make sure that they're not overwhelming themselves with, you know, all this, you know, willingness to, like, become better and then quit kind of halfway?
Yeah. So I've had people do my program for 31 days and then say to me, I did not complete every exercise in those 31 days, but I completed 22 of them, for example. Those were the easier ones. Now I've scheduled the other 9. Right? And they're scheduled out. Maybe this one exercise they have to do, they'll do it 2 weeks from now. And another one, they'll do it in a month. I tie everybody in a 3-man accountability group. Even when those 31 days end, they still have those accountability partners if they want for life. And they're going to be able to, hey, did you do the thing that you said on October 15th? Did you complete it? So you break it up and you do it in small amounts. They say that to eat an elephant, you do it one bite at a time. You don't have to do every one of these challenges all at one time. And the other thing is, if in life somebody has too many things and they are overwhelmed, it is time not only to stop accepting new things, but to look at what you're doing and what are you going to cut out? Stop doing that thing. Stop hanging around with the person who doesn't suit you, who zaps your energy. Stop committing to this volunteer thing. If that's not for you right now, put it off. So streamlining and doing less. I prefer to do a lot less, but be super effective in it than trying to do everything in my life.
Thank you. So is it a case of, let's say, deciding to take like one tiny action towards your kids' relationship? Is it a case of doing like one tiny relationship towards the relationship you have with your spouse and so on? So you choose basically every area of your life and you do one tiny thing towards that? Is that basically the program?
Yeah. So there's a day where a man has to plan a date with his wife, partner, girlfriend, whatever. If they don't have one at that moment, that's fine. This is a lesson for the future. And in that day, I had so many men that tell me, I can't remember the last time I went on a date with my wife. That absolutely blows me away. I've been married for 23 years. We have 4 kids. We got multiple businesses. We've built businesses, sold them, retired, and started back up. All these things. but I never can think of 1 week where I didn't go on a date, or two, or three, or where we went to breakfast 5 days in a row. We always made room for those things. And what happens in return? Phenomenal relationship, absolute best friends, still dating, still boyfriend and girlfriend, and happily married. But these guys tell me, yeah, you know, just life's gotten in the way. And I say, tell me some opportunities where you could have gone on a date. Oh, well, I guess. And when you dig deep, yeah, they could have gone on a date. That's the assignment for the day. Plan one date. But now I make a little twist in it. That one date that I have them planned, it's a challenge. I'm not going to make it too easy. There's four parts to it. So they got to go to this one show or a dinner, and then they got to go to for drinks if they drink alcohol or coffee after or dessert somewhere else. But they got to go to four different locations. And the result that I keep getting from guys is my wife, it's been over a month since we did that. And my wife keeps telling me what a fantastic night I gave her just by planning a simple date. Now, for many other guys in the program, they might say, I do that all the time. That's no big deal. Great. Perfect. That's going to be an easy challenge for you. Some of these guys, it's relationship changing. Another thing I do, four of my kids, two are adults and doing their own things now. But for years, for over a decade, I planned dates with each one of my kids. And every month, if it was January, this kid, first kid, had a date with me. February, the second one had a date. We'd go out for a couple of hours and do things that they enjoyed. The third one in March, the next one in April. And then it would repeat themselves. Every month, I had a date with one of my kids. That's actually one of the challenges, is to set that up and spend that time. And it's not on a computer. It's not at a movie theater. It's not in front of a TV. It's go out and do something that they enjoy and speak to them. And it changes relationships with those kids.
Tell us more about how you manage that, that people are at different level. Let's say perhaps someone is a great dad, has a great relationship with his wife, has like so many, you know, of the great things, you know, that they do to be better every day. But perhaps they're struggling with their finances, or they're struggling with a tiny area of their life that actually has a massive impact on all the other areas of their lives. How do you manage the group in the sense of, let's say you have this person who is like, has everything under control except for one thing. And then let's say maybe other people are handling their finances extremely well, but they, you know, haven't handled perhaps the relationship with their wife so well, and their kids, and, you know, other things. How do you manage this dynamic where you have people that are excelling in different areas of their lives and kind of like failing in others that are really important?
That's the power of the group. I met a man named Brian Brown, successful business owner, who I never met him. He bought my book. I've sold thousands of copies. I don't know who the people are. And he wrote me and said, I just want to tell you that I did your book on my own, and it was phenomenal. It improved my life. This is a guy who's got a lot of things going for him, very successful. And I said to him, just out of curiosity, why don't you sign up for the next cohort and do it in a group setting? And he did. He signed up. Then I asked him for the impact. What was the difference? And he said, it was cool doing it on my own, but very different in person was way, I mean, in a group was way better. And here's why. Because on the days where it was finances and maybe he excels, he was able to share in that WhatsApp group, in that once a week call that we have on Zoom. He was able to share some knowledge I don't have, that some of those guys don't have, that he was able to give value to all of them. But then when another challenge came up, another one of those guys gave the group that value. See, guys don't do this. Guys don't get together and talk. They don't do that at all. Some guys get together and drink, talk very little, or play a sport together, and at the end talk for 2 minutes, and then everybody goes home. I train jiu-jitsu, and when we go to the gym and fight, I don't see the guys talking about life. We might sit around after, and they might talk about some move, or they hurt their elbow and they might need surgery, and that's it. Then everybody goes home. Guys don't have this opportunity to sit around and now have an assignment and share. And it's amazing. I have a US Marine who took my class. I've had many, but one who took my class, and sharing some of these things, this man on Zoom, on camera, just started crying. And he said, I haven't cried once as an adult. And it was because all the power of bringing these guys together, and he hears a problem that someone's going through. He's going through the same thing. Never would he have found that out, because guys don't talk. When you bring them, and nobody's forcing them, when you bring them into a setting where they want to be there to, hey, I want to work on myself, see if I can get myself even better. And by the way, this program is not for losers. I can't take a guy who's living under a bridge and has made every bad decision. The great majority of my guys have 7 to 8, 1, 9-figure businesses. They're entrepreneurs. They're very successful. They're trying to get ahead. I've had a professional, two NFL players, a Major League Baseball player, a Navy SEAL, many successful veterans, and just mostly business owners. So this is for guys who are great. They want to get just that little bit better.
I have found, and I'm sure it must be because of my, you know, my childhood and so on, I have encountered a lot of men who have a lot of pride, like, and they're very private as well. Like, there's hardly any communication. So I'm wondering for men like that who perhaps struggle with communication and actually find it unsafe to communicate, in the sense of they find it easier and safer for themselves to not share anything out of fear of being judged, or even, like, you know, sharing too much with their spouse, because if they do, then they're in danger of, you know, maybe putting themselves in trouble, right? So I'm wondering, for men like that who struggle to communicate because they find it unsafe to do it, what would you tell someone like that to become a better man? How can they kind of overcome that ego and overcome the communication barrier that has been like a learned thing that they've done for years where it kind of has worked out?
Yeah. So here's something I've learned over the years, not from my own experience, because I don't have this. I could go to my wife and say, you know, I'm struggling with this thing, this business, this partnership, this whatever, and talk it through. But I hear many men, all you have to do is go on some of these men's podcasts or men's social media accounts, and you read the comments. And this is where I've learned a lot of it. Then I got into what I do, and I got to learn a lot from men. It's that sometimes going to your wife and crying to her, do this multiple times, you are going to look so weak that you're going to lose a lot of respect. And that may not be the narrative. That may not be what society tells us today. No, we're all the same, and you could cry to your wife. I see it over and over and over. When a guy shows up really weak and he keeps doing this, he loses respect, right? If a guy kept showing up every day crying, nobody's going to respect him. So guys have this fear of looking weak. And so my thought, my recommendation, what I've seen work very well is have a group of guys that you can talk to. And not that you're going to go and cry to them, but hearing, if you're in a Zoom with, let's call it 20 men, and this one has a problem. And what I do on these calls, I moderate. I ask questions. I'm not there preaching or teaching anything. And I ask this guy a question, and this other one is giving some input. And you're just that third guy standing back. You're learning from that experience that this one's having an issue. This one shares what's worked for him. And all of a sudden, you're getting that guidance of, man, these guys are going through it too. I understand. I can be part of this. I can talk if I want to. I can share or just take it in. I think there's a lot of power of being in those rooms and hearing that everybody doesn't have it solved. No one has a perfect life. So I think there is a power of those guys who have that lack of communication to slowly introduce themselves by hearing other people talk about their lives.
Thank you. I was not referring so much to, you know, going crying to your wife, but I'm saying more like I've come across people who actually are afraid of communicating to their wife or spouse or whatever, girlfriend, in the sense of like sharing anything at all about their day. And, you know, like, for example, for me, I talk like a radio, and I have been very fortunate for a really long time to have, you know, this relationship with a guy who liked to talk. But before that, I used to really struggle to meet someone who can actually talk about like a subject in detail. And even to say, you know, for example, let's say you go to a party, and then, you know, when you go to a party, you meet a lot of interesting people. And then, you know, like, for example, after the party, then you could talk about, okay, you know, Pedro said this and the other one said that, and can you believe this? And you're not going to believe that, you know? So the whole thing is like very, very interesting. But imagine having a relationship where it's like you go home and the guy you speak to has like nothing to say about anything. And it's like so annoying, you know, like how does someone like that who struggles to communicate about anything become a better man?
Sure. Well, So here's the thought. I've got four kids, and in middle school, kids change. They go from elementary school where they tell you everything about their day and everything to everything's fine, right? That's all that we get from them. Hey, how was your day? What happened? What was exciting? They don't want to talk. So those of us who have kids and been through that stage, we know. So we have a different way of speaking at our house. We're at our dinner table, my wife, myself, and our four kids. We don't say, how was your day? We said, all right, what was the best part of your day? Tell us the best part. Later, we're going to talk about what was something that was okay and something that you didn't like today. But if we prompt with the right questions, we found that that gets people talking. Now, someone who just doesn't want to talk, first of all, I would try to talk about what they're interested in. So if a woman is struggling with a guy who doesn't want to talk, he's probably excited about something. Maybe it's hunting, maybe it's sports, maybe it's video games, something, going to the gym, something. I bet you if you ask that guy, oh, you went to the gym, what'd you work on today? Oh, all of a sudden he's being asked about what he wants to talk about or likes to do. Maybe that spurs a conversation of, oh, today I worked on chest and triceps and what exercises did you do? I mean, if it's interesting to that person. Now, if nothing works, that guy just doesn't know how to talk and he's a hermit and he's not a great communicator. I don't know how to break someone out of that shell. But if you can encourage someone by talking about the things that they're interested in, and if none of that works, that might not be the best guy for that girl.
Thank you. Tell us more about which areas of a man's life would you have them work on so that in 31 days they could become a better man?
Yeah. One of the days is get your baseline. Something happens to us. Guys, when we're young, we're strong, we're fast, we could do all these physical things. And guess what happens? We stay thinking about that. I can tell you how much I bench pressed when I was 21 years old. That was my record. And that number is in my head. And I think that I could do that because I did it, 30 years ago, 50 now. I can't do that weight. So what that day, we have to go out and find our baseline. Where are we? How much can you lift? How fast can you run a mile? How many push-ups can you do straight before you collapse? Let's get that on paper. And we do that early on in the challenge. And then we build from there and we get really better toward the end because now we're not doing drugs, drinking alcohol, smoking, doing any of these things. So that's one way I think the guys do that. The other thing is I don't want to say that my program has saved lives, but it's made lives a lot better because on that early day, I make guys schedule their blood appointment. Contact, make an appointment with a doctor and let's check your testosterone, your PSA level and all these things so that we could see where you are physically. We have found some guys that said, I would never have done this. And I did. And here's what I found. And it would have killed me in a few years had I not known. So there's things like that that we can start doing that make that pours over. If your health is good, if your heart is good, if you're taking care of yourself, that pours over into everything else that you do. Imagine you're now feeling better. I've had so many guys that realize their testosterone was on the floor. Now they do all the natural things, and many of them have gotten it up. And when they're higher in their testosterone, guess what? They feel alive. They're happier. They're a better father. They're a better husband. Everything's going way better. A few of those guys have had to get on TRT. Testosterone replacement therapy. And that's okay if they tried the natural thing and it didn't work. But they say that this has absolutely changed their life and changed their relationship. So one little thing over here caused these effects in a totally different area of their life. Not even meaning to, but their chemicals and their levels are right in their body. Everything else is going better.
Thank you. Give us some examples of some trackers that someone who wants to become a better man would start tracking. So you said their baseline health, like how their health is right now. What other areas of their life are they going to start to track? And are they starting to track this from the very beginning of day one?
Yeah. So a very early day is day five. We look at our finances. And in a way that, look, I've run multiple businesses all my life where we looked at the profit and loss statement every month. We looked at the balance sheet. We did all these things. But the average person at home doesn't do any of these. So let's track a balance sheet. And in the book, it simply tells you what a balance sheet is. You list all your assets. And then you list if you owe any money, you have your liabilities. In the end, that's giving you your net worth. The average person does not know what their net worth is. They have no clue. Start tracking it. And now you're going to start making better decisions, typically. Oh, maybe I don't need to buy that boat right now. Maybe I'm going to finance 90%. Maybe I should wait till I save a little bit of money. Right? But when you start tracking finances, you start tracking your health. And then if you want to, if you make goals, because we have a goal setting day with accountability partners and an action plan that has to be developed. If you say, I want to have a better relationship with my wife, that's not a good goal because how do we know if you're doing it right? Well, if I go on 4 dates a month with my wife, I know that I'll be doing good. All right, great. Let's start putting these in your calendar. Start planning them ahead right now. And 3 months from now, we're going to go back and see if you did all of those. All of a sudden, there's this accountability. There's just proper tracking of that's how I can measure it. I don't know if I can have a better relationship with my wife, if I can track that. But I believe that if I go on more dates with her and make them special and make them nice, notice I didn't say expensive, you could improve that that relationship. So there's something you could track. You could track that if you went out with your kids every month and did something special with them. There's a lot of things. In fact, you could track relationship with friends. In fact, we have a day where we break out a quadrant of four, one, two, three, four, and we have you list, pick friends, 10, 20, however many you want, and put them in those. A number one in that quadrant is somebody who'll bury a body with you and won't ask any questions. That's your absolute best friends. And then two is really good friends. And three, and we have you break down and put your friends in these quadrants and let's just analyze it. Let's track where you are. Is this, are you happy with this? Great. Oh, you don't have a lot of number ones and twos? Let's see what we could do about those threes and four category friends. And let's do some things that build relationships to get them into the one and two slots. So yeah, I think a lot of things in life are trackable. We just never do that.
Thank you. I find that most men I've met, okay, don't have any element of playfulness. And I think that as you grow older, I think that most men just assume that it's okay to just like grow up and be serious now. And I don't think it ever is okay to just be serious all the time. And one of the reasons why I found that over the last few years, one of the elements that was most satisfying in my relationship was the element of playfulness. So I'm wondering whether that is one of the trackers that you would guide someone towards becoming a better man.
I don't know how to track it, but you're absolutely right. Years ago, we had just moved into an old house of ours, and a friend of my wife's came over and was helping us open up boxes and put the knives and forks away, little things like that. And she spent maybe 6, 7, 8 hours with us. And she said, I've never seen two people laugh so much. And we said, really? This is normal for us. We don't feel, you know, we're just having fun. Life's great. And she said, I don't remember the last time my husband and I laughed. I couldn't believe it. We said, you guys haven't laughed together in years? Absolutely, we haven't laughed. And they're not married anymore, not surprisingly. I don't know which of the two caused this. Maybe there's one that's really dry and doesn't work on himself. But man, go out to a comedy club. Go watch a comedy together on TV. Absolutely. I agree with you. Laughing makes you feel better. It releases things in your brain that make you, I think, healthier and happier. Yeah, I don't know what to do. We don't have a tracking measurement for laughing, but I'm 100% on that with you. It's such a, well, I'll tell you this. If you look at your life, I was born in third world communism with absolutely no rights. I don't live there anymore. I live in the United States and I have every freedom. I can carry as many guns as I want. I can say whatever I want. I can build as many businesses as I want. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm so happy and grateful for my life that I realize life is amazing. Life is great. So that, if you're coming from that perspective, as opposed to, well, I still haven't gotten that promotion. I still don't make this much money. I still don't have everything. If you're stuck in that mindset, I don't think you're going to laugh. I don't think you're going to have a great life. But if you start looking at all the things that bless you and give you a great life, I think that might soften you up and let you open up to thoughts of happiness and laughter.
Thank you. Tell us about your personal insights of like, how did you come up with this program of 31 days to become a better man? Like, was it that you looked into like yourself and did you have like a moment of like an aha moment? Or tell us about some of the moments that perhaps the insights of your clients have had an impact on you. So perhaps maybe when they did some tracker that you hadn't thought of, that it kind of led to you having another, you know, further aha moment that helped you become a better man.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't born knowing anything. I've slowly learned over many years. I've read, over 500 books on business, self-improvement, positive mindset. So I've been learning all my life. I still do. I'll read a couple of books a month. So I'm constantly learning. And fortunately, I've built this practice where the guys who do it, so many of them are CEOs and entrepreneurs that I'm constantly learning from. In fact, I've coached many CEOs for 6 to 12 months where they're hiring me to help them get through something. And we do. We work on it really well and we get it done. But what they don't know is that I'm learning so much from them. Their bad habits. Okay, I'm going to teach against those bad habits because I see guys repeating that. But I learned from their great habits. So many times I've edited that book, 31 Days to Become a Better Man, and I don't even put versions on it. Just if someone buys it today, that version is very different from the one 8 months ago. Why? Because someone said something in one of our calls on Zoom that I go, that was brilliant. And I'll tell them, I'm going to update that chapter because that was a phenomenal idea. I'm going to apply that to the book. So what this book and this program look like today is not what it looks like a year or two from now. And yeah, it's nonstop guys bringing me education from their experiences. And so many of the things, I've actually quoted so many of them in the book. And I say, here's something I learned from so-and-so. One of my friends, Noah, put a program together for us one time. We were away on a trip, bunch of entrepreneurs, and we were on a retreat, and he had us do a 10-year vision. We had to write down as if it was 10 years from today. It was our whole day, what our day looked like, where we live, who we're with, what we did that morning, that afternoon, and write down a whole day. And the exercise, and I've created that into one of the challenges for the 31-day program, and it's what your life looks like 10 days from now. Here's what I do. I read that a couple times a year. That's what I think my life's going to look like 10 years from now. By me looking at it twice a year, I get to see if the decisions I'm making today are leading me to that or not. So people can write down goals and what they're going to be doing, and then they forget about it. But if you revisit that and you constantly see, oh, yeah, am I on track or am I not on track? So, yeah, to answer the question in short, yes, so many of the guys have given me so much knowledge that I get to share with everybody.
Thank you. I think knowing who you want to become a better man for can help you and motivate you on your goal. So what I mean by that is, like, first, how does, like, your wife, your spouse's expectation of her idea of what a better man actually means versus, like, your own expectation, how does that impact your decisions? Because, yeah, for example, maybe for me, a better man could just mean, like, having more fun, right? And maybe for a person who maybe struggles with finances, they might think a better man would be someone who is, like, financially empowered. So how do those decisions kind of help you to decide who you want to be a better man for? Like, is it for your spouse or yourself?
Yeah. So there are different types of personalities, and some people will do something because someone else is expecting it of them. But when you leave it to themselves, they never do it, right? So an example is someone who wanted to lose weight all their life. They weighed way too much and they wanted to be healthy, and they did it, tried for themselves. They tried for their wife. It wasn't until, and I talk about this story in the book, it wasn't until this man had a little girl and he saw that he wasn't going to make it to her wedding one day. 25, 20 years from now, she's going to get married and there's no way he's going to be there because he's morbidly obese and he's not going to last that long. It was that moment that he came to a realization of, I'm going to do it for her. Well, that guy is a famous story out there online, lost so much weight and is so healthy. And for years he's kept it off because he found the why. In his case, it was to walk my daughter down the aisle in the church on her wedding day. Right. So yes, we'll need that. I think it's important if you're in a relationship, you're married, I think it's important to occasionally, and this could be a calendar reminder in your phone that pops up and you say, hey, honey, what do you need from me? What's missing? Like, what could I do to make this relationship better? Where do you see me missing the mark? And if you have an honest conversation and you're open to feedback and don't let your ego get in the way and your defensive mechanisms pop up or you can't hear it, don't ask that question until you're ready to get the answer. But if you ask that and then you execute in that direction, if it's in line with your values, I think you're setting yourself for a fantastic relationship. I don't think the average guy is necessarily going to become everything his wife wants him to, and vice versa. You know, we are our own people. But if you have those open conversations, we have a day in the challenge where it's you have to have a difficult conversation with somebody. That's a tough one. I mean, that one has caused people to nearly get divorced. We even have a day where you have to have a conversation about your sexual needs to your wife. So you have to say, hey, this is where you're doing great. This is where I'd like more of whatever, right? You open up conversations like that guys have been holding on for years and haven't had it. It opens up relationships in either direction, whatever direction it was supposed to go in, it will, because you accelerate that process.
Thank you. Tell us about how someone who suffers from high anxiety, high nervousness, and high anger, and the inability to manage their emotions, how would they become a better man?
Well, you just described me when I was younger. I never had a problem looking into the past and being depressed. No problem at all. Looking forward, is a constant worry because it's a survival mechanism. I'm going to speak about myself. Growing up in poverty, coming to this country, the United States, and growing up here, but growing up in poverty was tough because I always had to worry. I don't want to live here. I don't want to live in this neighborhood. I hear gunshots. I hear problems. I hear fights. I want to be better. I want to get out of this. How do I do it? And being nervous of getting in a fight, of getting attacked, all these things. Well, that worry helped me work really hard and made me be creative to create businesses and get out of there and build some big, decent sized businesses. The problem is I don't know how to turn that off. So that worry continues, that anxiety of, well, somebody can compete and take this business over. What if that partner doesn't do his part? There's always that worry. So I went through a lot of that. What helped me are a few things. Stopping, putting time to exercise, to meditate, to do yoga, to fight, because I think we have a lot of aggression inside of us. I did. I used to raise my voice and get really upset when I was younger with my kids, with my wife. I was in a high stress environment, high cortisol, building a business. You know, everything is on the line. I could lose it all tomorrow. That's hard to function in society when you're at that level. It feels like a tiger is chasing you at all times. So someone with anxiety, with aggression, probably feels that way. I'll tell you, for the last half a decade, I mentioned earlier, I've been training jiu-jitsu. And so talk about the most primal, natural state for a man to be in, to fight another man, bigger, stronger than him. You get a lot of that tension and that aggression. I bet you, and I know it because so many of my friends train jiu-jitsu, myself included, nobody's anxious afterwards. Nobody's aggressive, stressed out. I think I'm a better father and a better husband when I've let it all out, fighting another man, feeling my brain thinks I'm dying in that moment, or I'm going to kill him, right? I know it sounds so primitive, but this brain is primitive. Society may have given us all these wonderful tools and air conditioning, all these things, but we still have these dinosaur brains. And so for me, it's helped. Or I have a big punching bag I get to hit. I have weights I can lift. There's a lot of things. Now, if all my chemicals in my body and my vitamins and everything are measuring up and my blood work is good, I'm probably going to be in a better state. But I think that requires exercise, meditation, moments of relaxation where you do nothing. Go outside in nature. Go for a walk. Get some sun. So I think there are things that everyone can do. Now, if they have advanced problems, like maybe you're alluding to, go get some help. Go see a psychologist. Go see a psychiatrist. Go get therapy. Maybe that'll help.
Thank you. One funny thing about becoming a better man is that my partner and I used to struggle a lot with, let's say, every time he would eat, he would leave the dishes on the table. And let's say if I was in a meeting, he would expect me to come out and like wash the dishes and put them away and leave everything as it was, because that's what he was used to when he was, growing up. And his anger would like rise. And we were like this for like 10 years, okay? And one really funny thing that happened was that I said, I've been washing your dishes for the last 10 years. I think you'll be fine if you wash them occasionally, And it was just that tiny thing I said that, and that day I taught him how to like, not that day, okay, after a few years, I taught him how to like turn on the dishwasher. And it was just that tiny thing that kind of like helped him to reduce his own anger. And we don't argue about that anymore, which I find is so interesting. So sometimes it's like the worst things can have like really tiny solutions that make the massive difference and will like alleviate everything. Anyway, so
I like that. I grew up the exact same way. I never saw my dad clean. I never saw him wash a dish. I mean, very old school. But I remember thinking, man, it's kind of rough that my mom has to do everything. And she was working. They both worked 8 hours. They both got home together. And then she did everything. And I always thought, it's nice for my dad, but it's a little tough for my mom. So yeah, wherever I can help. Now, I'm not going to do all the cleaning, but I hired a cleaning lady 20 years ago, and that's who helps us clean the house. But wherever I need help, I always tell my wife, I don't want you stressing out. I don't want you doing all kinds of stuff. Whenever you need help, ask me. But I reminded her of that yesterday, because my wife has a program for women similar to mine. It's that book back there. It's called It's My Turn. And one of the days, it's a 31-day challenge series. One of the days she says, he's not a mind reader. Tell him what you need, because we get in our own head. And maybe in your case, you were getting upset for 10 years about something. Maybe, I don't know. and we're not mind readers, but if you're with a good person who's open and you tell them, hey, you know what would really help me out? Not in a fight situation, not in the moment, but later when you're both happy and everything's great. Hey, you know, I want to ask you for a favor. Do you think you can help me with something? And you say it, and maybe it doesn't happen, but a week later you mention it again and you try. I think that's healthy for a relationship to not keep things bottled up. Express what you have. Don't go to bed angry. Don't go to bed with 1,000 things in your head. Calmly share that. And it requires two mature people to get together to have that conversation and make it better for each other.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. I don't check everything every day, but I'm on there. My website is 31dailychallenges.com. And it's Joel Gandara on Instagram or LinkedIn. And I respond to every single message that I get. It might take me a few days, but I respond to everything.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.